I'm looking for a verse this morning. I thought it was in the one of the. It's not by the will of man. You know that verse? Where is it? Thought I had it written down here. No, be one in the new. I thought it was in the first, in some of the epistles, or not by what? Maybe. Well, look. Yeah, that's no. This what's that? Okay. I think this one in John was what I was. Yeah, there it is. I had it written down there too. Just couldn't find it. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom to do your will. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do for us. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. All right, let's turn there to 1 John. In verse 6, we'll begin. And there came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came into his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I want to stop right there. The thought I have about this morning is about our will, about the will as it relates to our relationship with God. Part of the thought I have is there's always been a debate about the sovereignty of God versus the will of man. And there's some religions that have taken and putting the sovereignty of God where man has no choice, man has no will, and God just arbitrarily chooses who will be saved or who won't be saved. And then on the other hand, you have those who think that it's all up to man, and that God really doesn't have anything much to do with it. We read verses that we believe that it is, salvation is in our wills. Our will, the choices that we make, is where salvation lies. But yet, we have verses like this that say, who are not born of God, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That whenever we think about them, we think, well, it can't be in God's will or in man's will, because it says right here it's not of the will of man. What is he saying? I believe what he's saying is that in your own power, you cannot will yourself to be saved. You have no strength to do this on your own. The Bible says that if any man come to the Father, he must be drawn by God. God calls us and God draws us to Himself. But God will not go against your will. He will not just do things without your will. That's the whole thing. The will of man, whenever it's talking here, is not talking about you not having a will or not having a choice in it. What it's doing is God is giving you the choice to yield to His will. It's not you just determining, I'm going to do everything right and I'm going to be what God wants me to be. It's you yielding to God's will. We have religion all over the world that is determined to do what they think God wants from them. And they try to do that without yielding to God's will. In Colossians, chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, let's just say here, let's begin verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. The Bible says in Ephesians that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our flesh cannot just determine to overcome sin. That's what it's talking about there in John when it talks about will worshiping, or talking about it's not in man. It's not, we're not born of man, nor by the flesh of man. Our salvation is not born because we determine that we're going to overcome sin. It's because he disarmed the rulers and the authorities. He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Things that are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees such as, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things determined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgences. Paul is talking about people here who are trying through their own determination to overcome sin, through abusing the body, self-abasement, creating these things, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. And missing, there's one verse that says that they're trying to do all these things through the flesh, and they become in bondage even to those things. It's not will worship, the worshiping of angels and will worship. So I don't know. See if you can find that verse, someone. Oh, that's what I just read. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. It's not of man or in flesh that we find our salvation. It's yielding to the will of God. We have that choice, and it is our will to do what He wants us to do. But whenever we try to create that will ourselves, we are trying to create a religion ourselves. It's not, we believe that each one of us have made choices that to follow the Lord ourselves. And it's determined by the things that we do. And the things that we... Our desire is to follow the Lord. And we have to do that, each one, ourselves. Let's turn to 1 John. Verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5. We'll just begin in verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked on and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, that so as you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. God is light. The fellowship, you know, there's a lot of people that say that it's not about doing this or doing that. Our salvation is a relationship. And they cite that the time that they spend in prayer or the time they spend in fellowship and communion with God is where their salvation is. And those are blessings. But that's not what he's talking about having fellowship with God. Our fellowship is when we walk in the light. In one place it talks about that if we follow the Lord, we'll be a partaker of the sufferings of the Lord. One of the verses in the Bible that talks about having a spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. I was taught all of my life that if I had this special feeling that I just knew that I was saved, that's what it meant to have this bearing witness, the spirit bearing witness. But I never could trust in that. That came and went. Sometimes I could feel saved, and the next day I felt lost. Usually because of how I was living. Trying to believe that Jesus died for me, and that would take care of it. But whenever I began to truly hear what God was calling, what He wanted from me, what the Bible teaches, how to live. And I begin to yield to that. I yielded my will to that. That was how He calls us. He calls us by showing us where we're wrong. And He shows us how we need to change our lives. And it'll come to a place where our will clashes with God. That what He wants and what I want are two different things. Now I can just plow on through and force myself into creating my own religion, or I can just yield myself to His will. A lot of times the Bible says it talks about taking up our cross and following Him. So many times our cross is right in front of us, and we try to find some other way, sometimes stricter, sometimes looser. I used to talk about the cross. The cross is right there. Jesus said, pick it up and carry it. Sometimes we'll try to go around it this way, or sometimes that way. Sometimes jump over it. Sometimes even dig a hole under it to get past it. And He said, pick it up and carry it. That's when we pick that cross up and we carry it, we begin to see the life of Jesus and the struggle, the battle that's in the world. And it becomes real to us. And we read the Bible and we see what He went through. Or we read about the martyrs throughout history or the things, the early church, and we read that and we understand. Because we have a fellowship. That's what that spirit bearing witness. It's not just a comforting thing. It's a bearing witness that we're of the same spirit. And it can't be done by just trying to pack everybody into the same idealistic ways, or trying to create a bunch of different rules that we all agree with. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with one another. Right here's what the church is about. Walking in the light. It says, but if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. People want to be saved. They want to be cleansed from their sin. It's not about asking forgiveness. It's not about saying a prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. It's not about believing that the blood just is going to wash away all your sins. Jesus said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, that His blood will cleanse us from our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. It's not about fixing our lives by our own will, by the will of man, by the will of the flesh, the strength of the flesh, that we don't ever sin again. I believe there's people that on the outward appearance live lives that appear that they have no sin. But if they're not walking in the light, they're in darkness. No matter what it appears to the flesh or to the eyes. It's walking in the light. It's just simply walking in the light that brings us in fellowship with the Lord. And when we walk in that light, you know, sometimes it gets pretty confusing. All the different religions in the world. It gets pretty confusing. The different churches. How do you find out which is the truth? People are looking for the truth, or they say they are. And the Bible says that it's right in front of you. It's in your hands. It's right in front of you. If you walk in the light, you will have it. It's not about trying to sort out which is this group right, that group right, this group. Whenever you're looking at that, you get confused. You get sidetracked. But you know what? It's not about doing everything perfect. We've all made decisions that we regret. Trying to figure this out. Trying to walk in this light. We've got deterred by this group or that group, or following this way or that way. But when we keep walking in the light, we'll still come to the same place eventually. I'm not talking about just universal, we're all going to the same place. I'm talking about walking in the light. When you walk in the light, you might get turned aside here and there. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. It's easy to get caught up in things. But when you keep walking in the light, He'll bring you right back to the light. He'll bring you right back to where you were supposed to be. There's groups that I've been a part of that I don't agree with. That I was probably wrong in some of the things that I was doing before. But I was walking in the light, trying to figure this all out. I didn't come to a place, oh, this is it. This is perfection. This is the place that I'm supposed to be for the rest of my life, and I'm never going to change. I didn't come to that because that's not what I was looking for. I was just trying to walk in the light. I knew that whenever I went with one of the plane groups one time, I just knew when I went there, they have more light than I do, and I'm going to walk with them. And I knew that I probably won't be able to stay here forever. I didn't realize they didn't think it that way. And that the only way I could leave was be excommunicated. But that wasn't what I went in there with. I went in, these people have some light. I'm going to walk with them. And I learned some things. But I had to keep on walking. And I don't regret the time I've spent there. I don't look back and with bitterness and anger that I wasted so many years there. Because I was walking in the light the whole time. I don't have to regret the time that I spent there or in other places. Our life's a journey. And our destination is going to be at the end of that journey. Not right here. And whenever we have our trust in something other than walking in the light, whenever we got to leave that place, we leave angry because they failed us. But it wasn't the people who failed us or the groups that failed us. It's because we're looking for perfection instead of just walking in the light. We're looking, we've got our eyes focused on something else than just walking in the light. We're looking for more. And so when we look back our life and, oh, I wasted my life there. Those people deceived me. Those people tricked me. It's just proof that you aren't walking in the light. Because you're looking at them. Or you're looking at some kind of man-made religion. Instead of just walking in the light. Yeah, we may have been led astray here or there. We may have turned aside thinking, yeah, that sounds right. But then after a while, we begin to see, wait a minute, there's a little more light. I got to go back this other way. And so if we're walking in the light, we just turn and walk the other way. Not holding bitterness because they deceived me, they tricked me. But walking in light as He is in light. And it's in our will. Just simply surrendering to the will of God. Thy will be done. It's not in my power just to determine that I'm not going to sin anymore. It's not in my power to tell you how to live your life. I've got to walk in the light. And it's not in us just to determine that I'm not going to do. You may have that appearance. You may be able to isolate yourselves to that point, to where it appears that way. But it's not walking in light. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from sin. And the only way that blood is applied is when we're walking in the light. We're not going to impress God with our performance, with how holy we can make ourselves appear to everyone else. Nor will it just magically happen because Jesus died for us. It's hearing Him who is calling from above and walking in that. Offering ourselves to do God's will. You know, there's times we don't know what to do. There's times we don't know what to do. In Ephesians it talks about whenever there's all has happened and all you can do is stand, it says stand. Therefore. We want to be marching. We want to be moving. We want to be going, fighting the battle. But you know, there's sometimes in this battle that there ain't nothing we can do but stand. Someone might come along and say, oh, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to fix this. You need to fix that. And all you can do is stand. No one can determine this for you. You have to walk in the light. You know, most of us want to do what's right. We want to. Bible says that the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. It's in our will. We don't conquer the flesh by putting restrictions on it. We win the flesh in our will. We're trying to fix it. We're our flesh and conquer our flesh through our flesh. You'll never do that. We win the battle when we give our will to God. And if we're trying to build up something to conquer it other than our will, we're missing it. And we will always miss it. It's not by the will of man. But it is our will. It's kind of confusing. It's not your will, but it is your will. What that means is, it's not your will to determine not to do wrong. It's surrendering your will to the Lord. To walk in the light. It's to follow wherever He will lead us. You know, it's a scary thing. I've seen people who live righteous lives be scared to death whenever they come face to face with saying, Lord, here I am. I will do anything You want me to do. Everything that I have is Yours. Everything that I want to be is Yours. Everything that comes upon my life is in Your hands. I surrender everything to You. get pretty serious. I'll do your will, God. It don't matter what you take away from me. It don't matter what I have to go through. Thy will be done. Jesus said in his prayer, Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. There's a lot of good people in the world. As we see, good people. A lot of nice people. A lot of people that would help you and do anything for you. A lot of people that would go out of their way to do anything they could for you. I think that's what Paul was talking about in Corinthians 11. There's people that'll just give themselves for a cause. Good causes. That still hold on to their will and won't give it to God. That don't make you perfect. That don't mean that things will be clear. Fact is, they'll probably get cloudier and cloudier and cloudier till sometimes you get to the place where all you can do is just stand. You know, whenever we talk about someone being self-willed, stubborn, you know, people don't understand someone who stands in the will of God and someone who is stubborn. Someone who is stubborn pushes their way, and someone who just has to stand sometimes, waiting, looking for the will of God, the people who are pushing will say, that guy's stubborn. He won't listen to me. This world don't understand someone who just stands. They think they're stubborn. They think they're rebellious. They think they're all kinds of things. And all they're doing is just standing. Just trying to stand. Doing all that they can do to stand. Jesus said one of the first things he talked about was meekness. The meek shall inherit the earth. Just thought about that. The meek shall inherit the earth. A lot of times the best way, you know, that meekness is a word that we really don't understand very well. Some people think weakness. Sometimes meekness is... The Bible says Moses was the meekest man on earth. But you know, you look at Moses and he wasn't a weak man by any stretch of the imagination. But he was meek. Sometimes the best way to understand a word is to find the opposite of it. Jesus, when he said, the meek shall inherit the earth, Think about someone who is inheriting the earth now. Because he's talking about the opposite. He's not talking about someone piling up a bunch of things and a bunch of land right now. He's saying, he's promising to those people who don't the land. Whenever you think of meekness, thinking the opposite of meekness, ambitious. The opposite of ambitious. Not weak, but strong enough not to need anything. Strong enough not to go along with everything that's going on. Not to be seeking after everything the world thinks is inheriting the earth. Not ambitious. Not seeking after those things. But strong enough not to. And they will inherit the earth. That's just a real blessing. In meekness, instructing those. Where's that verse? Yes. Titus or Timothy? Okay. Well, let's just begin in verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. Thinking King James, it says meekness, doesn't it? Yeah, in meekness, correcting those in opposition. If perhaps that God will grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. In meekness, in gentleness, not ambitious, not pressing and forcing. You gently lay the truth that if perchance God may be able to get them to hear Him, to listen, to hear Him. But when you're trying to cram something down somebody's throat, they can't hear God. They can't hear. They can't yield themselves to God's Spirit. They can't yield their will to Him because you're trying to push them into this self-willed man worship, creating your own religion. You know, we just heard it last night on the street. Just trying to have a simple message, and people come by and say, "Why are you cramming this down our throat?" And all we're doing is just having one message that's available. You don't have to cram it down anybody's throat. All you have to do is, in meekness, present it. Not try to force someone into it. That's what he's talking about here. He's talking about the message. It's a mystery. You present it and hope that God will let them hear it. You don't try to box them into a corner and force them into believing it. It's not by the will of man. It's not by flesh. But it's by the will of God. And us surrendering to, yielding to the will of God. There's things sometimes we struggle with. And we can try to pinch our flesh into submission, or we can just stand. And listen and wait for God to show us which direction to take. A couple weeks ago we talked about people trying to impress God. We gave examples of whenever you give instructions to your children, you tell the boys to mow the yard. You don't want to come home and find them painting the barn trying to impress you and wading through tall grass to do it. You want the barn, or you want the grass mowed. We're not going to impress God with doing something other than what He wants. We're not going to impress Him. It's not in man's flesh or man's will. It's just simply doing what God wants us to do and walking in the light. And when we start running ahead, all we're doing is messing things up. Can you imagine an army? And the general has a carefully drawn out plan of how to fight the battle. Everybody's laid out just where the general wants them. Hidden maybe. And then somebody determines, "I'm going to impress the general." And he jumps up and starts shooting way before the enemy gets there. Way before they're in the range of everybody else. He just goes running and charging. And gives away where all the rest of the people are. But he's a hero. Right? No. He's a fool. And probably tore up and got a lot of people killed. We can't outsmart God. We can't outdo Him. We can't impress Him. The only thing that's going to please Him is doing His will. And sometimes, that's waiting. waiting. If you try to run ahead of Him, you're getting it all messed up. That's just as bad as someone who won't do what He asked them to do. Walk in the light. And when you walk in the light, we have fellowship. One with another. If you're trying to run ahead or lag behind, you're missing it. Just walk. When it comes right down to it, that's all you will be able to do anyway. But you can do it. You can do it. I don't know, the story in the Bible, God told them to go fight Ai, I think it was, and they went, and there was sin in the camp. And they got defeated. I'm not sure of the name, but anyway. Then God said, don't go up. And they went up and got whipped. There's people that are still trying to live. The Jewish people missed God when He came. They were trying to do something different than what He was saying. And now, there's people trying to do what the Jews were supposed to be doing. They're still missing God. Walk in the light of where you are right now. That is all that you'll be able to do. That's the biggest battle you'll ever face. And anything other than that, you're just avoiding the real battle. It may look like you're just fighting up a storm, but all you're doing is fighting yourself or causing trouble for somebody else. You may really appear like you're running up there, and there's somebody standing there. All they can do to stand in the battle they're in. The meek will inherit the earth. Not the ambitious. Not someone trying to make a name for themselves. Not someone wanting to be the preacher or the leader. The meek will inherit the earth. The one that gets passed by, misses all the deals. Not ambitious, just trying to stand. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone, anything that you don't understand or wasn't questions, maybe? Or comment, something you'd add? Something I left undone or confusing?
Difference. What's the difference somewhere between like keeping the teachings of Jesus or the commandments of Jesus? Where can you get lost in it? Or
okay. Well, when you just yield yourselves to them and walk in them, whenever you're just trying to do them to impress God, you're missing it. But whenever you just with an honest heart walk in the light, this is the mystery of the gospel. That's why Paul said it was a mystery. It's not cut and dried. Do this, 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 and this, and you'll be right.
Right.
It's walking in the light that you have. whenever you've got to force everybody else to do what you're doing, that's not the meekness that brings people to the truth. It's presenting the truth to them and let them walk in it themselves. I wasn't keeping everything that I knew to do. Or I wasn't keeping everything. I didn't know everything when I began walking in the light. I began walking in the light. And then I began to see other things. And I would have to take another step and another step. And there was times I got caught up in, everybody's got to do this, or we got to do it this way. But soon I realized, that's not it either. You've got to allow people to walk in their own light. It's a mystery. And I can't pretend to understand it. Why do we even care when the world doesn't care at all? We're not trying to create a religion or a church. We're just trying to walk in the light. There's times it gets real cloudy and real gray and real hard. We just got to sometimes do nothing but stand. If we thought that we could just accomplish everything and get it all figured out, we'd almost say we have no sin. But it's not. That's not the way it is. I don't know all I know is Jesus said, if you hear my voice, and we try to put it all in, well, you got to be doing all of it, you hear it collectively all at once. That's not the way I found it. He pointed to one thing in my life where my will was. And when I yielded that, he started showing me other things. But I heard what he wanted and did it. I don't know where we get, it's so easy to get sidetracked. So easy to have that appearance. But whenever we get so determined that it's my way and you're wrong, that's our will. Sometimes I don't understand. I mean, sometimes it's just pretty easy to doubt all of these things. The lesson to the children about God. You know, I've said it before, but there's so much wrong in the world. And people make so many wrong choices and so do so many bad things. But I know that we can make right choices. That's what tells me more that there is a good and there is evil in the world. We can make right choices just like we make wrong ones. We can yield to right just like we yield to wrong. It gets confusing. Some people get real right. And can be real wrong. That help? A little bit?
Yeah. I just thought to Mike's question there that what we were learning with Wilbur when he called someone in charge of those big cam signs along the road that say evangelical messages, and he says, why don't you put on there Jesus teaching? So on we and you helped us see that, you know, we can just change our tactics and that's not enough.
Exactly.
It's further. It's without death to ourselves and just trying to be like the Lord. The Lord, there's nothing's changed. We just changed
our message
and our method.
Yeah.
And then just thinking now, you know, some of Jesus' teachings in Matthew 5, could it be that some of them were just the Pharisees were all about, you keep these rules that we know and we've set up that are ancient and you'll be fine. And Jesus just says, well, look, even the look on a woman to lust after her, that's adultery. And showed them the inconsistency in their row, but then ends up just saying, be like your Father who is in heaven.
Right.
Be good. Be kind. Be unthankful. Be unholy. Be like Him. Be perfect.
Right.
That's what being perfect is. And it's hard to. I remember asking you already. I just identified right with what Mike's asking here. I asked you, but you can't go wrong doing Jesus' commandments. And be it far from us. We couldn't go wrong. But well, I think what Jesus is saying when he ended up Matthew 5, be like your Father. He's saying, yes, you can. If you just change and now boom, 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 boom. Just what I'm telling you, everything just in perfect order. You can just be a Pharisee just as easy. It's deeper yet.
Amen.
Sure, follow my ways and my teachings. Be perfect. Be like your Father.
Those are the map. It's not the way. It's the way to. It's the map that shows us.
Oh yeah.
How to be with Him. And as He shows us the light, we walk in it, we become like Him.
I think that's why we call Jesus there His teachings, not His formulas or specific points. They were His teachings. He was the rabbi or the teacher. He taught them. He gave them principles to live by. It wasn't,
right.
Yeah, look right here at this point, verse and such and such, you know, be, here it is, right there. That's why He left a lot of things, and this is scary to say in religion, but open-ended.
Right.
He didn't just seal it all up, and then religion comes along and tries to make it more pointed, more precise, more detailed for whatever they're looking at. But we've got to give each other, just like the idea of non-resistance. Exactly, what are you going to do if someone treats you or mistreats you or your family? That Jesus didn't even define that down to the point.
Right.
So are we supposed to?
Amen. Amen. It's a walk. It's not a code. All right, anybody else have anything to share?
Shouldn't we all keep it simple too?
Amen.
A bit more than what's actually required and you're gonna have to do. I appreciate that.
Amen. It's simplicity that's in the gospel. And it's simply walking in light. Amen.
I think one of the problems with why people don't want to let it be like that is because they fear. There's a fear that comes with keeping it simple that if something's going to be allowed, sin will be allowed because it's so simple. But what we forget is that God makes that evident. There's fellowship or there isn't. There's walking in light or there isn't. There's love for the brethren or there isn't. And that reveals itself.
It's and risky to walk in the light. It's easy to build a nice, firm, concrete, tornado-proof shelter. But it's scary to say, I'm going to walk right out here and not have a stone to lay my head on. That's scary. As far as even spiritual, in a spiritual sense, not just a physical sense. You can build a concrete bunker of Christianity, or we can not have a place to lay our head in Christianity and walk in it. All right. Well, God bless you. Back here. Who's... Okay. All right. Well, God bless you.
The Son of God goes forth to war. Try out.
My soul.